Basic Principles for Real-Time Travel, Second Part. Hello again, my friends. Thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are happy and well today. Send you all a big hug. I am Murray. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. This is the second part of the time travel subject. And although this video may be understandable enough on its own, I suggest you see the first part before this one to be able to understand all the concepts as much as possible. Continuing from where I left off. If today we have a room with no windows, decorated as if it were the year 1945, with all its objects in a certain position, and somehow we transport a man from that same year into the room, he will not see any difference from his year. He will assume it is still 1945. Furthermore, if the same man is transported to another room, full of modern computers, with or without windows, he will also assume that it is still the year 1945, unless you tell him it is not, while using the surroundings as proof that he is in the future, and only then, the man will choose whether to believe you or not. So it is still up to him to decide what his reality will be. He may choose not to believe you even despite the evidence, because his mind and his frame of knowledge simply are not ready to understand such overwhelming information. In reverse, if you are transported back in time to 1945, and you find yourself in that same room, you may still assume it is the year 2024. Unless you are informed that you were transported back to 1945, but as your mind is prepared to understand such information, and how it is possible, you do believe that you are in the year 1945, because you fully understand the mechanics of how you got there. My point is that there is nothing in the year 1945, or in any other year for that matter, which makes it so, other than the personal, or collective belief that it is such a year. Now, observing several years from the expanded perspective of an interstellar race with time travel capacity, I ask, what makes, and what defines one particular year? Why is one year different from another, from an ultimate and non-human scientific point of view? The most obvious answer to that question is that it is the strong belief of the people living in one year or another, who collectively manifest the year they are living in, using perception and social agreements, and yes, ultimately this is exactly so, but this is not useful enough for us when our goal is to time travel. So, what really defines one year from another in tangible physical terms is the objects, the things, and the people in each year, or in any other specific moment in time. What defines one exact moment in time from another is the disposition, the exact location of each physical object which exists there, their characteristics, and the relationship they have with one another. As a simplified example, if you have a table with 10 objects on it, the exact placement of each object, and the distance from one another, will define one moment in time. And as you move the objects around on the table, it would define another location in time, and so on, and this is what happens as well in an extended location such as planet Earth. It is what is in it and how what physically exists there, what will define what year, and what moment in time people there are living. Someone can argue that the exact location between the objects on the table may not change, but time is still moving forward, even if they are not moved. This happens when and because it is the observer with a watch who is animating time as a perception in his or her mind, and applying such perception to the table and everything on it that is not moving. This problem or perception phenomena is defeated when time traveling, by using contained system principles. These are defined by the physical and perception boundaries, which surround each place or location, and which cause the person who is experiencing that location and its moment in time to only be able to focus on what is happening inside such boundaries, and with no contrast or no external reference to contradict what his or her senses are saying. Examples of contained systems would be the interior of a commercial aeroplane, at speed and in flight, where the people may even feel that they are not moving at all, because their drink is stable and it's not spilling all over, and they can comfortably walk through the passage between the seats, hardly feeling any movement, if at all. All this while traveling at 900 kilometers an hour, at an altitude of 35,000 feet, and with an external temperature of minus 50 degrees centigrade. In a much more expanded example of a closed and contained system, the Earth and its existential matrix realm would be the best example. People are perception locked in that planet, and everything that comes from out of it is also filtered and justified by the authorities as something else, something that conforms to their official narrative, be it scientific, political, cultural, or so on. So all the reality of most people living on Earth is contained in a small package called Planet Earth, which for my time travel reference example would be the 1945 room with no windows. It is exactly the same thing. The smallest, or simplest example of a contained system, could even be the inside of a car while moving at speed on a highway, as many things there can be related, or are similar to the aeroplane example above. There is no real universal date, in a literal way it is always the now. The universe has no time, no dates, and no linearity. All of those are only as the result of a consciousness that is interpreting itself as the series of events that it is manifesting for itself, during its existential experience, in a biological body, or an astral body form. The only universal perception of time would be the one source itself would have, in its own level and interpretation, but it is well out of our reach and our understanding, although we can argue that a source, it couldn't ever have a perception of time in any way we can even start to understand, because at that level source would have to function outside all duality, all space and all time, as we know them. Each contained system, for example, a realm such as the one on Earth, has its own perception of time, for example on Earth the cycles of day and night, as well as its yearly cycles, are the base for the units of time as they are understood by Earth humans, yet they are only valid from the point of view from within that contained system on Earth, only valid from the point of view of the inhabitants of that planet, and not elsewhere. To the point where all temporal and spatial calculations developed by Earth science are only valid from the point of view, and from the limited understanding of its science and mathematics, therefore just about all, if not all its cosmology, its understanding of the universe, is only a reflection of the limited understanding and consciousness awareness level of its scientists and inhabitants. The entire planet Earth becomes as contained a system as the isolated room we used in the 1945 example. But know that there are other humans in space, and other non-human civilizations who are outside that closed system box called Earth, and who have developed a much more expanded understanding of the universe, and a better mathematical comprehension of it all, yet are humble enough to understand that they too are limited by the level of their own consciousness. A self-contained system, in this case, a realm such as Earth, has physical limits, the limits of the planet, where everything inside has a value in terms of mass. Meaning that each object inside it has a value depending on its characteristics, such as the size and density of the materials it is made of. The mass of every object that exists is given and determined by the amount of gravity that it is receiving. The more mass an object has, the more gravity it is getting. An object with mass is the result of a concentration of energy in a flow of gravity within a medium, and that medium is the ether, which acts like a super high existential vibration fluid with laws similar to those of hydrodynamics. All this is explained in detail in the Theory of Manifestation, which my predecessors published and shared on the YouTube channels Despejando Enigmas and Cosmic Agency years ago, and I will publish my own version of the theory of manifestation here in mine soon. Gravity is pure consciousness, it is not a force as such, it is a flow of very high-frequency energy in the ether, a current with a vector, and it has a near-infinite number of different frequencies of gravity within itself. This means that gravity has a frequency spectrum that can be measured with advanced sensors, similar to the interferometers used to detect neutrinos. As the different frequencies and concentrations of gravity within a closed system can be measured, we can develop a detailed map of the entire area, a map that details the disposition and distribution of mass gravity within that closed system. This is called a frequency map, which is also called a map of the masses inside the closed system. This is done using advanced sensors that provide the information to advanced computers, who will then develop a detailed map of all the objects inside the closed system we are observing, as well as all the relationships between all the objects, how they interfere with one another, and in what way. The values of mass, as well as the relationship between all the objects, are represented by numerical and mathematical values that can even be predicted whenever a piece of information is missing, for example, when a smaller area inside the closed system was not adequately mapped. It is here where the computer can fill in the gaps, using mathematical formulas, predicting what the values of energy and mass should be in the missing area, based on how the rest of the field behaves, and on the mass-gravity mathematical relationships between all the objects in the surrounding and well-mapped areas. I must stop writing here for today. The subject is too complex to compress into only two videos so far. I will continue right here where I left off in my very next video. Thank you for your patience. I find it funny to think that I at first thought that I could give all this in one single video, but I'd rather make several and give you all as detailed information as possible. Thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing and subscribing, I appreciate it a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. Take care. With much love, your friend, Marie Swaroo.